We're going to study drink offerings tonight. Or we're going to at least start studying. I got an infection. Set the trumpet in thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. Israel shall cry unto me, my God, we know thee. Israel hath cast off the thing that is good, the enemy shall pursue them. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. Thy calf, O Samaria, has cast thee off. Mine anger is kindled against them. How long will it be ere they attain to innocency? How long will it be ere they attain to innocency? Somebody go to Jeremiah 13. It's just one person.
I have seen thine adulteries and thy nakedness, the lewdness of thy whoredom, and thy abominations on the hills and the field. Woe unto thee, O Jerusalem! Wilt thou not be made clean? When shall it once be?
When shall what?
When shall it once be?
It's 13:27. Mm-hmm. It's not what I thought it was. Well, anyway, the idea of returning to innocency is
Psalm 19:13.
Yeah, it's all over, but it's you know, the in Jeremiah it says how long are you going to gad about to change your ways? The idea of, in a real sense, the only purpose of the plagues and the only purpose of Passover is that you would return to innocency. And what does innocency mean? Innocency is a condition of dependence. It's becoming as a small child. It's never seeing that a condition you're in at this moment should be different than it is. That's the true definition of innocency. Now, any other position puts you in a high place, puts you in a place that says things need to be different than they are, you're judging good and evil, therefore there's no innocency. Now, the tie-in here is that all of these things, the silver and gold, the transgressing of the covenant, the idea of whoredoms and adulteries, all come from a position other than innocency. And innocency is tantamount to obedience. They're the same thing. Because in obedience, you hear and know that the word of the Lord is in every moment of your life. So you don't move away from that moment for another moment. Now, we're going to get, all this ties into the drink offering, and we're getting there, so on a roundabout way. So let's continue. How long will it be ere they attain to innocency? For from Israel was it also, the workman made it. Therefore it was not God, but the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the strangers shall swallow it up. Israel is swallowed up, now shall they be among the Gentiles as vessels wherein there is no pleasure. For they are gone up to Assyria, a wild ass alone by itself. Ephraim hath hired lovers. Yea, though they have hired among the nations, now will I gather them, and they shall sorrow a little for the burden of the kings of the princes, for the burden of the king of the princes. Because Ephraim hath made many altars to sin, altars shall be unto him to sin. Now remember who Ephraim is. The wine of Ephraim.
Self-seeking.
It's the wine of self-seeking.
Well, you Jesus' altar shall be unto him to sin. I don't understand.
In other words, the things that he worshipped, the things that he gave importance to, will shall become sin unto him. I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. They sacrifice flesh for the sacrifices of mine offerings and eat it, but the Lord accepteth them not. Now will he remember their iniquity and visit their sins. They shall return to Egypt. For Israel hath forgotten his maker and buildeth temples, and Judah hath multiplied fenced cities. But I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. Rejoice not, O Israel, for joy as other people, for thou hast gone a whoring from thy God. Thou hast loved a reward upon every corn floor. The floor and the winepress shall not feed them, and the new wine shall fail in her. They shall not dwell in the Lord's land, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt, and shall eat unclean things in Assyria. They shall not offer wine offerings to the Lord, neither shall they be pleasing unto him. Their sacrifices shall be unto them as the bread of mourners. All that eat thereof shall be polluted, for their bread for their soul shall not come into the house of the Lord. What will you do in the solemn day and in the day of the feast of the Lord? For lo, they are gone because of destruction. Egypt shall gather them up. Memphis shall bury them. The pleasant places for their silver, nettles shall possess them, thorns shall be in their tabernacles. The days of visitation are come, the days of recompense are come. Israel shall know it. The prophet is a fool. The spiritual man is mad for the multitude of thine iniquity and the great hatred. The watchman of Ephraim was with my God, but the prophet is a snare of the fowler in all his ways, and hatred in the house of God. They have deeply corrupted themselves as in the days of Gibeah. Therefore he will remember their iniquity. He will visit all their sins. I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first tripe, first ripe in the fig tree at her first time. But they went to Baal-peor and separated themselves unto that shame, and their abominations were according as they loved. As for Ephraim, their glory shall fly away like a bird from the birth and from the womb and from the conception. Though they bring up their children, yet I will bereave them, that there shall not be a man left. Yea, woe also to them when I depart from them. Ephraim, as I saw Tyrus, is planted in a pleasant place. But Ephraim shall bring forth his children to the murderer. Give them, O Lord, what wilt thou give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breasts. All their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them. For the wickedness of their doings I will drive them out of mine house. I will love them no more. All of their princes are revolters. Ephraim is smitten, their root is dried up. They shall bear no fruit, yea, though they bring forth, yet will I slay even the beloved fruit of their womb. My God will cast them away because they did not hearken unto him, and they shall be wanderers among the nations. Now all of this, and it goes on, it gets worse. Yeah. But in chapter 9, verse 4, they shall not offer wine offerings to the Lord. Let's go to, keep that in mind, let's go to Isaiah 57. The righteous man perish, and no man taketh to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering. The righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. But draw near here, you son of the sorceress, the seed of the adulterer and the whore. Against whom do you sport or vaunt yourselves? Against whom make you a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are you not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood? Inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys under the cliffs of the rocks, among the smooth stones of the stream is thy portion. They are thy lot, even to them hast thou poured a drink offering. And thou hast offered a meat offering. should I receive comfort in these. Upon a high and lofty mountain hast thou set up thy bed. Even there wentest thou up to offer sacrifice. Behind the doors also on the post hast thou set up thy remembrance. For thou hast discovered thyself to another than me. And art gone up, and hast enlarged thy bed, and made thee a covenant with them. And thou lovest their bed where thou sawest. And thou went to the king with thine ointment, and didst increase thy perfumes, and didst send messengers far off, and did debase thyself even unto hell. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet sayest thou not, there is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thine hand, and therefore thou wast not grieved. In both these cases, both in Hosea and in Isaiah, somehow Israel is offering a drink offering to a phony god or to phony gods. And in both cases, if you can hear this, the drink offering to the phony god had something to do with tomorrow. It had something to do here in this one. It's you were wearied in the greatness of your way, yet you say not, there is no hope, for you have found the life of your own hand. So, the illegal drink offering, if you will, is always towards tomorrow. And it's where you have made a, and again, you remember, if you don't, I'm sure you will, if we, in some of the hot seats where you've made a covenant with death and with hell, you're at an agreement. The covenant with death and the sacrifice to death and with hell that you're in agreement requires an offering. And it requires an offering of something for tomorrow. It requires an investment in tomorrow. And it is almost impossible for the American mind to consider that this isn't the nature of the thing, because that's all we do is offer an investment. We offer an offering for tomorrow. And now, let's see if we can bring it down to the understanding of what the drink offering is, what the legal drink offering is. I promise you, though, it has to have as its component a body of people who are content in the state that they're in. A body of people without the need for time. A body of people who know that it's finished. Then a drink offering can be offered. We're always offering drink. I mean, it's like everybody tithes. Well, everybody's also making burnt offerings, everybody's also making sin offerings, everybody's also making meat offerings, everybody's also making all of the offerings, trespass offerings and drink offerings. But you're offering them to the wrong God. Now, God wants us to transform all of those things that we do by nature and to make them a communal thing. Okay? The drink offering has to be, it can't be done alone. Well, it seems like it's done alone in the world when you're making an illegal one, but it's not, because everybody's making the same one. You just don't know it. But in the body, in a body of believers, the drink offering has to be manifested, has to be apprehended only when the body of believers knows that it's finished.
Was it always wine?
Always red wine. It's always the best of the red wine. There's all kinds of conditions that we'll go through and see what it was. But let's first get a handle on it. Okay, let's go to...
So it's like, in the world, drink offerings are always being made, but by individuals. We do it as...
Well, yeah, but it's always... It's
some sort of collective...
It's always the collection, though.
Yeah.
You're never doing it alone. You think you've got a great idea. You're doing something alone.
Yeah.
But it's just the collective consciousness of that society. And there's no merit in it whatsoever. But it's
the legal one, though, as a body, it's done with knowledge and comprehension and its finishedness, and it's because it's a body doing it.
Right.
It knows it's doing it.
Okay, now let me see if we can bring up some other things. The legal drink offering cannot be apprehended if you've touched a dead body. I don't know the spiritual means about that. You have to need the ashes of the red heifer. It cannot be apprehended if you have leprosy. You have to go through the cleansing of the leper. It can't be apprehended if the waters of jealousy, the cup hasn't been drunk. It can't be apprehended if you're still worrying about your consciousness of sin. It can't be apprehended if you're still worried about making a mistake. It can only be apprehended when you reach the sweet savor offerings of the peace offering, the meat offering, and the burnt offering. Now, and I think always, but maybe there's some exceptions, but always, the drink, the meat offering, the burnt offering, and his meat offering, and the drink offering are offered simultaneously. Now let's see if we can apprehend some of this stuff, okay? Let's first go to it's in the daily offerings. We haven't studied the daily offerings yet. I mean, we've studied the individuals, but now we need to find out what was done every day. Okay? Exodus 29. The drink offering is one of those things that, it's like a lot of things that, you know, I've wanted us to study for many years. Now I think it's time that we can apprehend it. So at least stealth can. Start, somebody else read, I'm exhausted. Larry, read 29, 38 to 44. Oh, well, go ahead and read to 46.
Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, two lambs of the first year, day by day continually. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at even. And with the one lamb a tenth deal of flour mingled with a fourth part of an hin of a beaten oil, and the fourth part of an hin of wine for a drink offering. And the other lamb thou shalt offer at even, and shalt do thereunto according to the meat offering of the morning, and according to the drink offering thereof, for a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto thee. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will sanctify also both sons and his priests,
And I will sanctify
also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God, that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God.
Okay. Now let's go to Leviticus 23. Now, all of these, notice that what's offered are the burnt offering and the meat offering with their drink offering. Those are commanded to be offered every day of every year, continually throughout all generations. Now, what goes without saying is every day there were literally hundreds or thousands of trespass offerings offered. There were thousands of sin offerings offered. And prayerfully, there were thousands, or at least a few, peace offerings, the fellowship offerings offered. So those go without saying. But the fact that God commanded, this is before apprehension. You have to hear this. This is according to the pattern shown Moses on the Mount. This is when Moses was taken out of time and revealed a mystery, and the mystery could only be described in pictures and offerings. And he said, forever. Burnt offering, a meal offering, and its drink offering must be offered morning and night, morning and night, forever. You got it? Now, you see the connection. It's the burnt offering with its meal offering, and it personalizes it in most of the scriptures. It says the burnt offering with his meal offering and his drink offering.
So they were like attendant to the burnt offering.
The burnt offering, the meat offering, and the meal offering, and the drink offering. Okay, let's go to Leviticus 23.
Okay, just straight on.
Yeah, we're going to read a lot, the whole chapter.
And the Lord spake.
But again, don't get when you're studying these kinds of things, I want you to notice the other stuff that's going on. But when it says drink offering, I want you to hone in on it. Okay? And see, I mean, the only way you can understand some of this stuff is you've got to see it in that it's not literal. I mean, it's a parable to reveal a mystery. Don't literalize the parable, okay?
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. You shall do no work therein, it is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. In the first day ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. But ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the seventh day is a holy convocation. There shall be no servile work therein. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheep of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheep before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And ye shall offer that day, when ye wave the sheep and he lamb without blemish in the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deals of fine flour mixed with oil, an offering made by fire to the Lord for a sweet savor. And the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of an hin. And ye shall eat neither bread nor parched corn nor green ears until the selfsame day ye have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. And ye shall count it to you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheep of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Ye shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be a fine flour, they shall be baked with leaven, they are the first fruits unto the Lord. And ye shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish for the first year, and 1 young bullock, and 2 rams. They shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord, with their meat offering and their drink offerings, even an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. Then ye shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, and 2 lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall wave them with bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord, with the two lambs, they shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And ye shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it may be an holy convocation unto you. Ye shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. And when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of the field where thou reapest. Neither shalt thou gather of any of the gleanings of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the 7th month, in the first day of the month,
shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, also on the tenth day of this seventh month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you. And ye shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And ye shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people.
Okay, let's change it here. It just finished all of the offerings. I mean, all of the feasts. Now start in verse 37. It's not talking about the various. It finished the feast. Now it's going to talk about the offerings for those feasts.
These are the feasts of the Lord which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering and a meat offering, a sacrifice and drink offerings, everything upon his day. Beside the Sabbaths of the Lord, and beside your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your freewill offerings which you give unto the Lord, also in the 15th day of the seventh month.
The point that I want to make to you is that there's something connected with the feasts and the drink offering, okay? It's that is in addition to the drink offering that's offered daily. So there's something special. There's a special thing that there's an added drink offering on the feast days. You got it? Okay. Let's go to Numbers 28. Okay, go ahead, read.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel, and say unto them, my offering and my bread for my sacrifices made by fire, for a sweet savor unto me, shall ye observe to offer unto me in their due season. And thou shalt say unto them, this is the offering made by fire which ye shall offer unto the Lord, two lambs of the first year without spot, day by day, for a continual burnt offering. The one lamb shalt thou offer in the morning, and the other lamb shalt thou offer at even, and a tenth part of an ephah of flour for a meat offering, mingled with the fourth part of an hin of beaten oil. It is a continual burnt offering, which was ordained in Mount Sinai for sweet savor, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord. And the drink offering thereof shall be the fourth part of an hin for the one lamb. In the holy place thou shalt cause the strong wine to be poured unto the Lord for a drink offering. And the other lamb shalt thou offer it even, as the meat offering of the morning, and as the drink offering thereof. Thou shalt offer it, a sacrifice made by fire, of a sweet savor unto the Lord.
Okay. So those were a repetition with some added information of what we just read in Exodus 29. The daily offerings. It's not correct to say it's the required daily offering. Okay? Now let's go. Now we'll start seeing the Sabbath and the new moon offering, and then we'll go into the feast offerings. Okay? Go ahead. Starting verse 9. Numbers 28, verse 9.
And on the Sabbath day, two lambs of the first year without spot, and two-tenths deal of flour for meat offering, mingled with oil, and the drink offering thereof. This is the burnt offering of every Sabbath, beside the continual burnt offering and his drink offering. And in the beginnings of your month, ye shall offer a burnt offering unto the Lord, two young bullocks, and one ram, seven lambs of the first year without spot, and three-tenths deals of flour for a meat offering, mingle with oil for one bullock, and two-tenths deals of flour for a meat offering, mingle with oil for one ram. And several tenths deal of flour, mingle with oil for a meat offering unto one lamb, for a burnt offering of a sweet savor, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord. And their drink offering shall be an hin of wine unto a bullock.
Half.
Excuse me. And their drink offering shall be half an hin of wine unto a bullock, and the third part of an hin unto a ram, and a fourth part of an hin unto a lamb. This is the burnt offering of every month throughout the months of the year. And one kid of the goats for a sin offering unto the Lord shall be offered, beside the continual burnt offering and his drink offering.
Okay. First of all, you have to understand that these are all, this is all a sweet savor offering. That means the drink offering was poured out on the altar. It was totally consumed.
Burning, like while it was burning.
Yeah. It was, you remember what we said, the burnt offering, it's the first tablet of the law, it's the first four commandments, and it's all of God's duty, I mean all of man's duty to God, satisfied in the first table of the law, and it is all connected in the burnt offering. It's man's duty to God, satisfied. Sweet savor. The meal offering is man's duty to man. It's every obligation that you can possibly have to another human being, and every obligation they can have towards you is satisfied in the meal offering. You understand that? That's the second table of the law, the six commandments. Okay, so that satisfies God, satisfies man, but the fruit of it is the drink offering. The fruit of that satisfaction is the fact that then the drink offering is poured and consumed as a sweet savor offering. And the drink offering is the church itself. But it cannot be made, and it cannot be understood, as long as there is the propensity for individual self-realization, as long as there's any propensity toward tomorrow, there can be no offerings for tomorrow. If we weren't so rebellious, we could understand it and apprehend it in a New York minute. But because of the rebellion, because of the way that we've been taught, because of the whole aspect of the society which teaches self-realization, teaches the salvation of the isolated self. In our society, it's a miracle that we've ever even gotten to tonight. To understand that the drink offering is poured out. The mystery of it is that the drink offering, the bride, the church, was always there from the beginning. It was always complete. It was always a sweet savor unto the Lord. And you can, all of the demands have been met. Can you understand that?
Like, there's something about what you said, that everybody's making a drink offering all the time. It's like everybody is in a church all the time, but it might be, it's like, you know, things that the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of Satan. You know, there's a collective thing that you're participating in.
The collective consciousness of the world is self for self.
Yeah.
And that is the drink offering. And they shall speak well of you as long as you do well unto yourself. Right.
And you're always being poured out.
You're always poured out to that offering.
Yeah, but you're poured out with the expectation something coming back because of the pouring.
And that's the agreement. That's the covenant with death. With hell, you're in an agreement.
That's fire.
Only sweet savor to the Lord when you're poured out for the brethren.
Well, yeah, man. Without any regard to the what it looks like or to the results.
All that to say the same old thing.
Well, we're not there. We're not done with it yet.
You can't have a body then without both ways.
All right. You cannot, as long as there's any teaching that says that you have an obligation to do something, there can't be the apprehension of the drink offering. Because the drink offering, by its nature, requires that there is no obligation except for the moment. Do you understand? You're poured out for this moment only. You can't be poured out for a cause. You're poured out as unto the Lord. If somebody benefits by it, praise God. But you're poured out as unto the Lord, not as unto man. So if you have a cause or teaching causes or teaching agendas, there's no life.
That scripture's coming to life about that I might apprehend that which is trying to apprehend me. It's like the process is right here. And when with the apprehension, it's complete. It happens, you do it.
Okay. So we've gone through the daily offerings now where we are in Numbers 29. We've gone through the daily offerings, then we've seen there's an added offering on the Sabbath. Now we're going to see there's an added offering on the new moon, which is tonight. So David Corey's isn't negotiating today because it's the new moon.
Start at 1?
No, 16. We just 28:16, I mean.
Oh. And on the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of the Lord. And in the 15th day of this month is the feast. 7 days shall unleavened bread be eaten.
Now, I want you to notice something here. This is really, and I wished I were more of a Talmudic scholar, but I don't think that a drink offering is offered on Passover, which is really wild. I think that it's offered the next 7 days, but I don't think there's a drink offering offered in Passover. Now read this carefully, and it's really kind of wild if that's the case.
In the first day shall be an holy convocation. Ye shall do no manner of servile work therein. But ye shall offer a sacrifice made by fire for a burnt offering unto the Lord. 2 young bullocks and 1 ram, and 7 lambs of the first year. They shall be unto you without blemish. And their meat offering shall be of flour mingled with oil. 3/10 deals shall ye offer for a bullock, and 2/10 deals for a ram. A several 10th deal shall thou offer for every lamb throughout the 7 lambs, and 1 goat for a sin offering to make an atonement for you. You shall offer these beside the burnt offerings in the morning, which is for a continual burnt offering. After this manner you shall offer daily throughout the 7 days the meat of the sacrifice made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. It shall be offered beside the continual burnt offering and his drink offering.
Okay. Throughout the 7 days. Remember, there's 8 days of Passover. On the Passover, I don't think there's any drink offering, which is loaded with mystery, if that's the case. Okay.
And on the 7th day you shall have an holy convocation, you shall do no servile work. Also in the day of the first fruits, when you bring a new meat offering unto the Lord, after your weeks be out, you shall have an holy convocation, you shall do no servile work. But you shall offer the burnt offering for a sweet savor unto the Lord. 2 young bullocks, 1 ram, 7 lambs of the first year, and their meat offerings of flour mingled with oil, 3/10 deals unto 1 bullock, 2/10 deals unto 1 ram, a several 10th deal unto 1 lamb throughout the 7 lambs, and 1 kid of the goats to make an atonement for you. You shall offer them beside the continual burnt offering and his meat offering. They shall be unto you without blemish in their drink offerings.
Now, I just bear with me and look in this. This is the next one. You remember there's 45,000 sacrifices for tabernacles, so we don't want to go. I don't want you to read all that. But let me just go. In verse 6, the daily burnt offering and his meat offering and the drink offering. In verse 11, the continual burnt offering and the meat offering of it and their drink offering. In verse 13, In verse 16, one kid of the goats for sin offering, besides the continual burnt offering, his meat offering, and his drink offering. Verse 18, their meat offering and their drink offerings. Verse 19, the meat offering thereof and their drink offerings. 21, their meat offerings and their drink offerings. Verse 22, the burnt offering and his meat offering and his drink offering. Verse 24, the meat offering and their drink offerings. 25, his meat offering and his drink offering. 27, their meat offering and their drink offering. 28, his meat offering and his drink offering. 30, their meat offering and their drink offering. 31, his meat offering and his drink offering. The meat offering and the drink offering. 33, 34, his meat offering and his drink offering. 37, their meat offering and their drink offering. 38, his meat offering and his drink offering. 39, for your burnt offering and your meat offering and your drink offering and for your peace offering. There's an intimate connection between burnt offering, meat offering, and drink offering. They abide together. Now, the amount is interesting. Remember in that one, well, we'll get there. The standard was one quarter hin of wine for a lamb, one third for a ram, and one half for a bull. Does anybody remember what that is? What's a hin? The drink, it's quite a bit of wine. But the apprehension, you remember when we studied the burnt offering and the meat offerings? The bullock was the greatest apprehension.
Yeah,
I remember that. And it went all the way down to almost nothing, and it got confused with all the other offerings. Remember. So in this here, this pattern remains. There's a half a hin of wine for a bull, a third a hin of wine for a ram, and a quarter hin of wine for a lamb. So again, you got to. It's which comes first here, but it's. It's the apprehension of the wine which will create the innocency. I can't. Well, then why didn't you teach about this a long time ago? Well, because it wouldn't make any sense if you didn't know it was finished. You can't apprehend it if, as long as you're consumed. If your thoughts are about being, you know, whether or not you've made a mistake, or whether or not you're going to get in trouble, and the highest you can apprehend is the trespass offering. You know, we've gone through all that. So, you remember in Purim, you drink sufficient wine so you no longer know the difference between blessed be Mordecai and cursed be Haman. That's innocency.
So you have to think about it.
There's a phenomenon, you know, I see it happen with people who come in. And at first, always doesn't mean a whole lot. But then they begin to somehow they apprehend the idea of the body, this symbolically the drink offering. And then it's like there's almost like a going back and re-looking at their relationship to God and their relationship
because
to each other. You can't almost get to those other two understandings without this drink offering.
I agree. But I'm not too sure you can get to the drink offering without these other understandings. Okay. The drink offering was also part of the daily offerings, the Sabbath offerings, and the new moon offerings, as we've just seen. The expression strong drink that I'm sure several of you noticed when we were right there a moment ago.
I noticed it.
Huh?
I noticed that.
I figured you did. It don't make any big thing out of it. It's just it's another synonym for wine. The libation was considered an additional, besides the burnt and the meal offering, it was an additional sweet savor or pleasing odor offering to the Lord. Now, in fact, it was equal with, because you can't. Hear this. We know that by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified, right? So by his offering of his life, he has completed the burnt offering, he's completed the meal offering, the trespass offering, the sin offering, all the other offerings. But here's the kicker. It says he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. To be sanctified is to be the drink offering. So the drink offering is the fruit of his offering. Do you understand? So he still did it, and as we apprehend what he did, then we become the drink offering. Because by that, and that, hear me, that's the really only true definition of sanctification. Because sanctify always is connected with wine. The Kiddush or Kaddish that said, the wine, the cup of sanctification, it's always connected with wine. And it's always red wine. We'll get to that in a minute. It's not mentioned. It's not said. And the reason is because the Passover is all attention is on the one offering. All of our minds and all of them, the symbolic offerings made at the time of the temple are on the lamb.
There was probably a daily one. Is that what you're, or are you saying just because it's not mentioned there might not be anything happening?
Yeah, we don't know. I don't have enough information to answer that question right now. But I know that there wasn't, I mean, it's unique. It's the only fest. It's the only feast for which a drink offering wasn't listed. Mm-hmm. But I think it's majestic if and I'm sure that's the case. I mean, because all of our attention is focused on the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. All our attention is focused on the redemption. We no more of our own little tricks for redemption. No more feeling bad as our act of redemption. No more getting mad and huffy as our act of redemption. Anyway, as with this burnt offering, all of the drink offering was expended. There isn't anything left over. As with the burnt offering, all of the drink offering is expended. There isn't anything left over.
All goes in the fire?
All goes in the fire.
That's pretty cool.
You know, in the meat offering, and in the peace offering, the priest got to eat some of it and hang on a little. But all of it goes in the fire. All of it is...
None of it is ever consumed for self.
There can't be the... there can't be the hint of self in the drink offering. If there's a hint of self, it's a drink offering, but it's to the God of this world. It doesn't matter whose name it's in.
Is it poured into the fire? You know, some of the things like the blood is splashed around sometimes on the outside.
There's huge debates of whether it was poured into the fire or not. But it was expended, we know that. But I believe it was poured into the fire. That's what most of the...
Some people wouldn't like put out the fire or anything.
No, this is a very hot fire.
Yeah, it's
fire.
It
would be like an barbecue where you squirt the...
You only talk about half a hen at a time, John.
Well, alcohol is flammable anyway.
Yeah, but good old John, he's concerned about what happens to that wine.
This wine was about 3 times stronger than modern wine. But at Purim, you had to mix it. You cut it 1 to 3. 3 to 1, I mean. Now, interestingly enough, a drink offering was specified for the Nazarites' concluding rite. You had to have a...
By itself?
Huh?
By itself?
Well, no.
With its...
Go to number 6. Let's look at that. In verse 13, and this is the law of the Nazarite: when the days of his separation are fulfilled, he shall be brought unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and he shall offer his offering unto the Lord, one he lamb of the first year without blemish for a burnt offering, one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish for a sin offering, and one ram without blemish for peace offerings. And a basket of unleavened bread, cakes of fine flour mingled with oil, and wafers of unleavened bread anointed with their oil, and their meat offering and their drink offerings. And the priest shall bring them before the Lord, and shall offer his sin offering and his burnt offering. And he shall offer the ram for a sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord with a basket of unleavened bread. The priest shall also offer also his meat offering and his drink offering. And the Nazarite shall shave his head, etc., etc. But it's not specified for the cleansing of a leper. There's no drink offering in the cleansing of a leper. Why?
Because it can't be incorporated into the bride.
Lepers are self-seeking.
Yeah. The act of leprosy is the act of separating yourself from the wine. It's internal fermenting instead of external. So I'm sure there's many more reasons, but the idea that in all of these other cases, a drink offering was offered, but not for the cleansing of a leper.
This is really stupid, but on Passover, I mean, the lamb is sacrificed, but then the priest says, here, take this lamb home, eat the lamb, and drink the wine.
But it's not a drink offering. That's a different, don't mix the two.
It's just drink some wine.
Yeah.
But it's part of the, you know, wine is an essential part of the ceremony.
Yeah. What?
The celebration of the feast.
Right. What, it's just like with blood, though. I mean, the world knows a little bit about the meaning of the blood, and so they say, my blood is, this power in the blood, and my sin is covered, and a lot. But the blood has an infinite number of meanings in its parable, and so does the wine here. So just because the wine is used for the drink offering, it doesn't necessarily mean it has to follow that pattern in the afkumen.
But I see what he's saying.
I'm just like it's in the place of abiding, and the flesh is consumed not by the fire but by the place of abiding, and the wine is consumed not by the fire but by.
Okay, remember Passover. It was before all. Before the law, he had incorporated all the law. It was before the offerings, it was before the feast, he had incorporated them all. So I'm sure you're right, there's a portion of that in there.
Yeah, it's just back there for some reason.
Now, the drink offering was never, ever, ever specified for the sin of the trespass offering, which is really a lot of revelation. You understand that? Because those two just get you back to first base.
Yeah.
Now, it had to be red wine.
Oh, I understand what you said about sin offering, trespass offering.
Well, the sin offering and the trespass offering are for you as an individual to get back into the ball game. But they're not you as ground as being crushed into the wine of the body. So it's what's necessary to get you back to the vat, so to speak. Back to the vat. Now there's a whole lot of things that's kind of interesting. What the wine for the drink offering couldn't be. It couldn't be wine from the offerer's vat. It's like,
that's just a wild thought. They just saying about. I mean, those things, they just get you so that you're able to be part of a body.
Right. It's just like salvation.
Yeah.
You know, the world thinks salvation is the end, but that's just the merest beginning.
Yeah,
the sin offering or the trespass offering, or the, that's just That's just to get to the door of the tabernacle. And that's why the church is, you know, for the most part, they're missing so much of the mystery.
Yeah.
Because they stop at the door and then try to get a bunch of converts to come with them to the door and look in and say, look in there.
Won't that be wonderful?
Yeah.
Great crowds standing at the door.
But again, they're outside the veil. And it's only by the apprehension of these offerings do you walk through the veil into the holy place, then into the Holy of Holies, and sit on the mercy seat. That's when Christ said he was the way, he didn't mean the way in the world. He could care less about the world of that. He meant, I'm sure of this, and he meant that he was the way from the door of the tabernacle to the mercy seat. But, you know, they've made him the way in the world. Well, he didn't give a shit about the world, except that to see that it's vain, it's futile and stupid. But Jesus Christ is the way to have a successful business. Right. Jesus Christ is the way to be a great teacher. Right. Jesus Christ is the way to run a good government. Wrong. I mean, it doesn't work. He's not the way in the world. That's stupid.
Never was.
He's the way when you've seen the vanity of all things, and therefore you can approach the door of the tabernacle. Then from that door to the mercy seat is the trek from here to here. But you can only get from here to here alone, see? Then you need a body to get from here to here. God, I wish that wasn't true sometimes. All right, the wine for the drink offering excluded the following things. Wine from the offerer's vat, because it was too new. You got to think, this is full of revelation if you hear it. Okay? They kept the wine in these huge containers, right? They didn't use barrels like that. They were. It couldn't be wine from the mouth of the container because it could have mold there. It couldn't be wine from the bottom of the container because that's where the lees are. It couldn't be wine that was black. Now, what would produce black wine?
Lead.
No.
Doing something.
I don't know either.
Black grapes.
I mean, I can guess, but it
temperate paints.
Anyway, I don't know what it is.
It couldn't be wine that was black. Is that what you said?
Black wine.
Couldn't be wine that was white. Not meaning. I mean. It doesn't mean the color of wine was white wine as we know it today. It was that the color was, it couldn't be effervescing.
Champagne?
It couldn't be still effervescing is the idea.
Because that's not at rest.
Right. It couldn't be wine that is sweet.
Oh yeah. Or like wine that's sweet wine can't get to the level of that.
It couldn't be wine that is what's called cellar wine. Because the wine was considered to be promiscuous and untested. Cellar wine would have been something that hadn't been tested. I mean, that's the problem.
They wouldn't know what it was, so right. You couldn't. Okay, it was like somebody comes up with a bottle from somewhere. They have to know about it.
Couldn't be wine made from raisins. It couldn't be wine which is too pungent because it may have already turned to vinegar. Couldn't be wine which is mixed. Couldn't be different grapes in this. It'd be from one class. couldn't be wine that had been uncovered or exposed.
I thought they mixed grapes from different varieties to produce good wine. There's a reason why. I mean, like, they all came out of the same vineyard, is what you're saying.
Couldn't we be the wine made of lees? And it couldn't be wine with an offensive smell. Anyway, I think it took me 26 years to... you can't believe how difficult it is to find this stuff. The drink offering must be at the expense of the community.
That means you couldn't come from somebody's private money. It had to come from a...
Some one person couldn't buy it.
And the drink offering accompanied most, except for the trespass and sin, all other animal sacrifices. Now, have we ever studied a word...
There's just something about... When you said that about he couldn't be... I mean, it had to be at the expense of the whole community. It made me think about, you can't have, like, a thing built around, like if we had a Mother Teresa. You couldn't have, you know, just her pouring out her life wouldn't make right. this drink offering. It has to be the whole of the
community.
The community being poured out to touch some way. That,
right. That's good. Have we ever studied the word pigul, P-I-G-G-U-L? It's what happens when something starts to be offered, wants to be, or intended to be offered as a sacrifice, and then is used for self. And it's the best way to translate spiritually the word pigul is abhorrent. It's something that's abhorrent to God because it was originally intended as a part of the sacrifice, and then it was used for self. But this is interesting. The animal offering can render the drink offering pigul or abhorrent. Or, in other words, if the mistake is made or something happens in the animal sacrifice,
sure, it's
and does it wrong, then it renders its drink offering abhorrent also.
Yeah. Which is to God.
Now hear me, just me. But the drink offering cannot render the animal sacrifice pigul.
The sanctified body.
In other words, we can't do anything against the truth. It's basically the way to look at that.
And if our offering, if the offering made for us was perfect, then...
Now, there's this great, great saying in the Talmud. It says, the blood goes with the drink offering, or the drink offering goes with blood as joy goes with atonement. So, I mean, that's...
I wish I could remember all these things. You know, they're just... To think about them during the day,
now, of all of the things that are offered, you remember there can be no sacrifice made without salt? Remember we talked about that? Except the wine, the blood, the wood, and the frankincense do not require salting. Why?
They're already eternal.
The wine, the blood, the wood, and the frankincense, you said. Frankincense.
Everything else that's offered requires salt.
It's just with the wine.
I think the wine tastes bad.
Even if it tastes real bad. And it makes wood pop. I mean, it does a funny thing with wood. I don't know.
Well, there's already salt present in the animals.
No, all of the animals require salt. You have to have salt in order for it to be.
You have to add salt.
And you have to add salt to the flour also for the meat offering.
I don't know.
We
We give up.
I don't know.
Oh.
No, I mean, I know the wood doesn't require salt because the wood trees, they're all a type of the world. I mean, they're the best type because their only purpose is to burn. And in their burning, they create. The frankincense doesn't require salt because it is transfigured in the burning. It was intended to be burned. The blood doesn't require salt because the blood isn't burned. But the wine doesn't require salt. Why?
Well, I think it doesn't taste that. Anybody else?
Because there's no residue. There's nothing.
It changes somehow.
Yeah, because the wine has already been. The wine already is the component of eternity. The wine already has left. The only purpose that salt is at is to have the component of eternity. And the wine, by its becoming wine.
Yeah.
Has already been transfigured into eternity because our life is hid with Christ in God. We are seated on the mercy seat.
Yeah.
That's drink offering 101.
It's like the wine is where the grape has fulfilled its destiny.
Right. And now when we say, blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who doth create the fruit of the wine, of the vine, we can understand it a little better. Because its intent is the drink offering.
What makes the meat offering and the burnt offering
makes
more
sense.
Understandable? Mm-hmm. They have a purpose, you know.
But can you see how there's more revelation of God and Christ and the bride in Leviticus than there is in any other book of the Bible? And we just miss it. The world doesn't even study it. The modern church doesn't even know it. I mean, but I can tell you why. I mean,
it's not a pleasant revelation.
No, but it took.
It's not easy to study,
that's for damn sure.
The two things struck me mostly was that idea of the two other offerings. You couldn't have it's always accompanied by the drink offering.
Yeah.
And that idea, I mean, I keep thinking about the Ten Commandments and how each one of those, and then you have this the other thing that fills it out completely. I mean, and that's the purpose of all that, so that there would be a body, not so that you'd have a purified life of some sort, but that you might fit together.
Yeah, it makes the understanding of wine come alive to me. I mean, the idea that it's equal footing with the burnt offering and the meat offering and the drink
offering. It's like the highest purpose a bull could attain to, or the highest purpose a lamb could attain, or wine could attain to, or flour, is to be considered the best.
It's the best it can be. Anybody have anything else?
Take a big gun.
Yeah, take a big gun.